appreciate y'all putting up with us. So much of what he said, I totally agree with it. There's only one disagreement, and that is the interpretation of verse 5. I want to run over the whole thing, too, because I totally agree this is a thing that occurred at that time, but was the custom, and I'm here using the word for apostolic tradition, not just a custom of man. Going over the scriptures quickly, I have highlighted some words that are of interest here. Every man who prays or prophesied with his head covered dishonors his head. And note the word covered there. And then in the next verse, a woman prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For it's the same as if she were shaven. Notice the connection, and we'll look at that. If the wife will not cover her head, she should cut her hair short. This is the English standard. Others say shave her head. Since it is disgraceful for a wife to cut off her hair, let her cover her head. And so we see the covers. Skipping the next one just a moment, I'll come back to it later. A man ought not to cover his head. All right, most of that's been covered. And I'm going to assume that you've heard all of the scripture and look down to the color code. Note, I have a color code there, red, yellow, and black. There are actually in this four words for covered. Four words. The first one is in red. The second and third are the same word in positive and negative form, katakalupto and akatakalupto. And the last word is paraboleon, and it's in black and white at the end. So I want to note that there are three words for covering. Just note that as we pass. Now, we want to study the use of those terms. And look at the words for covering in the New Testament. I'm having a little time seeing what I'm trying to see. All right.
Can you see it better on the computer?
I can see it better with the list in front of me and the computer. All right. Old Testament usage. We recognize the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, which is not Greek, but some time not too long before, in the few hundreds of years before Christ, Jewish scholars, these are men who understood the law, they spoke it all their lives, they studied it, and were very conversant in the old law. They supposedly 70 of them, I've heard that question. And so it's called the Septuagint, the version of 70. And so we have the Old Testament given to us in a form that they themselves recognize. And so it has a good deal of authority in the words. And this is not anything different than what Fat said, because he also uses Septuagint. One thing that Fat did that I don't do, and that is bring in the columna word, because it is a separate word handled separately by the men that work with it. I work with the form of the word that we're using here, the kalupto or katakalupto, and that does not refer to hair. Does not refer to any specific covering. It is a general term for covering. Look, in Exodus 34, the furniture and the tabernacle were covered by the curtains. In Isaiah 6:2, the seraphim cover their faces and feet with their wings. In Exodus 24 and Isaiah 62, the cloud covered. You notice here is a covering. And what was the cover, the actual substance of the covering, was mentioned to tell what it was. And Mount Sinai, in verse, the darkness covered the earth. That's Isaiah. And so, what is the substance of the covering? Let's keep looking. Mine iniquity have I not covered. And here we see it's David saying, I haven't concealed my sin. In other words, it's, and the covering is whatever cover. In Psalm 52, thou hast covered all their sins. And so here he's talking about forgiveness as a cover. In Ezekiel 7:18, 16:8, and 24:7, Hara shall cover. My skirt shall cover. Cover it with dust. New Testament usage. And I do mention the other word. In the fourth verse, we have the man having his head covered. That's a completely different term. Down over his head having, which is very similar to the others, which mean to hang down or hide. Katakalupto, to hide or cover up, and that's, he has that mentioned where it was, and I have it listed where it was. Then the word kalupto, which is very akin to it, because it is the same word without the intensifier kata in front of it. So instead of kata kalupto, it's kalupto. And looking, that word is of interest. We find that in verse Matthew 8:24, the boat covered by the waves. In Luke 8:16, no one covers a lamp with a vessel. In Luke 23:30, the people will say to the hills, cover us. In 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel is hid, it's translated, that's the same word, it is hid in them that's lost. That's out of sight, so something is over it. Whether it be their misunderstanding or their ignorance or whatever it is, it's something that covers it. Then we go to the last word that's mentioned, which is parabolion. And we see in 1 Corinthians 11:15, long hair to glory to her. Hair is given to her for a covering. In Hebrews 1:12, as a mantle thou shalt roll them up, as a garment they shall be changed, but thou art the same. And going back for a moment to the word kaluma, not kalupto, kaluma does refer more often to clothes. That's true. It's a different word. The form of the word we're using seldom refers to clothes. It's just covered, and you have to read the text to see what the cover is. And it becomes very clear what the cover is when you read the text. Parabolion is similar. It actually is a little more leaning toward garments. Notice, to cover, to cast around, a covering, a cloak, a cape, an outer garment, or mantle. We see the term mantle or robe, depending on the translation, used in Hebrews 1:12, as a mantle thou shalt roll them up. So it also is a word for covering, and it leans more toward clothing than kalupto, but kalupto can be clothing, either. What is it? It's a general term for covered, covered or hidden. Now, because of this, we have to recognize that you have to look at the context to see what the covering is.
Let me see if I can.
This is new to me, so I'm a little slower. This is going to be a little harder to read. I'm going to skip the note on verse 15 for a moment, and I'll come back to it later. That's Robinson's word picture. But I want to look at this text again and look at these the statements tend to come in pairs. There's one down there, the one that's listed in verse 10, is not quite the same pairing as the others. But these come in pairs. Now remember, our question is, the context must show what the cover is. The word cover, the word kalupto, katakalupto, does not indicate the substance of the cover. It just indicates that it is covered. It is hidden. Now, if we start in verse 4, a man that is covered dishonors his head. The woman uncovered dishonored her head. Is there any indication here that there's some connection to hair? Look at the end of that statement. It is the same as if she were shaven. So even here, we see a connection to hair. In verse 6, if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. And I'll have a longer statement that at the end, because I think that's one of the clearest statements, whereas most people feel like it's questionable. But again, cover, and when he makes the comparison, he comes up with something related to hair. Then in verse 6b, if she it's a shame for her to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Again, cover is tied somehow to hair. In verse 10, in verse 7, a man ought not to be covered, and it does not say a woman ought to be covered, but the implication is there. So there's no comparison except the man shouldn't be covered, the woman ought to be covered. Going to verse 13, a woman uncovered is seemly, but a man with long hair is a dishonor. Both of them are negative this time. Sometimes it's a positive and a negative. Sometimes it's a positive and a positive. Sometimes it's a negative and a negative. Here the negative is, the woman is uncovered, and that's a dishonor. Over here it's the man has long hair, and that's a dishonor. You notice again, the only covering, the only substance connected to the word covering is hair. Then in verse 15, if a woman have long hair, hair is given to her for her covering. And so, again, the hair and the cover are tied together. Now, since the word cover is a generic term that can refer to anything, and since it does, darkness, waves, mist, and admittedly, a Middle Eastern veil would be a cover. Hair would be a cover. All of the word cover requires something of substance that will be the cover. It's the, just refers to the fact it is hidden. What hides it? Now, I want to look then to this question, do two or three, because we do have three expressions for cover here. Words for covering necessitate or imply two or three covers. I mean, it's interesting if two words imply two coverings, do three words imply three coverings? I do note, and actually, Pat really said something in agreement with this, that if two words are the same, the fact that two words referring to something doesn't mean they're two things. Thank you. Horace gave out years ago with a nerve problem. And since that time, I cannot talk constantly, but if you minister to it, it goes to pieces. And so I can't preach anymore, for example. Never could preach very well. Maybe it's a blessing. All right.
I've heard him do a pretty good job of preaching since then.
And do word, doctrine, and truth, are that three things? Because they're three words. And here, Pat and I agree. I'm not going to spend much time here. That the two words don't mean that there are two things. We do note that there are a lot of words for referring to the time we are saved, how we are saved, and what have you. And people have taken these and split them up. The Calvinists particularly, we have a song, Rock of Ages. And Rock of Ages, be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Well, we sing it realizing that is something that occurs at the same time. The Calvinist doesn't think so. And you can see so if you remember, maybe you're not that old, but if you remember, President Clinton made a big deal. You remember what I'm about to say? There are people that are saved. He's saved, but he's also born again. And so if you're saved, you ought to do what it takes to be born again. What's the problem? They're two words, and they think they're two things separately. But they are not two things separately. They are precisely something that occurs at the same moment in time and in place. That's what God does for us when we're saved. So I will note here the bottom is not there. A note on verse 15 by Robinson. This is Robinson's Word Pictures. Pretty well recognized person, but I'm sorry that's so small. I'm going to read it. This is his comment on 1 Corinthians 11:15, the second part. For a covering, anti-periboleon, an old word from parabolo, to fling around a mantle, Hebrews 1:12, he refers to again, or a covering or a veil is here. You know, it's a covering or a veil. This could refer to a veil. It's a covering again. And he said, it is not in the place of a veil, but answering to, anti in the sense of anti in John 1:16, as a permanent endowment. And so he just noticed that your hair is given as a covering. He says it's a permanent endowment, and we don't argue that. But it's just an interesting that he sees that. Now, I want to deal with verse 5 in some detail. I guess I'm going to have to go to the next page. All right. No? Three.
Hit a return. Oh. Just hit return. Did it go down? Can you hit return?
Then hit 5 and return. I'm still not there.
What page you want?
I can't tell. Wait a minute. I can look here.
Numbers don't work up there.
Oh, no wonder. Thank you.
So I just hit the U, you know, returning it up. If you want to use the numbers, you'd have to use them up there.
Uh-huh. where our real difference occurs, and we really don't have any difference except at this point, and that is the interpretation of verse 5. A woman prophesying or praying. I got insight into Pat's argument tonight for really the first time. I have my notes. He said that this verse says that this must be worn for the occasion. All right. I want to look at that carefully. Consider the scriptures teach that certain conditions must exist for us to serve the Lord acceptably, particularly in prayer. And I give a number. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to Jehovah, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Proverbs 28:9, he that turneth away his ear from the hearing of the law, even his prayer is an abomination, a hated thing. So here's something you can do that destroys your prayer, and a condition you must have for appropriate prayer. So there's a condition that must be present for your prayer to be acceptable. All right? Isaiah 1, hear the word of Jehovah, all ye men of Sodom. I have enough of your burnt offerings and rams and fat of beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs. Wait a minute. Who commanded that? The answer is God commanded the sacrifices and the fat of fed beasts and the like. But for that worship to be acceptable, there had to be a condition in their lives that was met. And if that condition wasn't there, the sacrifices and so on were simply not acceptable. There are conditions that we have to meet in order to have appropriate service. Look at I'm going to skip 1 Corinthians 11:5 for a minute. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:2. If I have the gift of prophecy, isn't that a wonderful thing? And that's a God-given gift. And know all mysteries, know all knowledge, and have all faith so as to remove mountains. But have not love, I'm nothing. And you know there's whole series right there. But notice there's a condition that has to exist before he can even exercise the God-given privilege of prophecy and have it mean to anything. He cannot profit from it if he doesn't have the condition. Then in 1 Peter 3:17, ye husbands in like manner dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel, also being joint heirs of the grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered. Now notice, again, there's a condition we must meet for our prayers to be effective. If we don't have that condition, the prayers are not effective. Well, 1 Corinthians 11:5 is exactly the same way. Any woman praying or prophesying with her head unveiled dishonors her head. So he's saying that this condition of having a head covering is necessary for appropriate and acceptable worship. Now, the question is, does this indicate she has to put it on or put it off? What I believe is the basic fallacy in the discussion. See if I can even find my notes. The use of the term this must be something done for the occasion. This does not say you must put on a veil or cover to have acceptable prayer. It doesn't say that. What it says is exactly what these others are saying. There is an addition without which you cannot have acceptable prayer. And that condition is you must have a cover. Now the question is, does that say put the cover on? If a woman suppose the second veil were the covering, what if the woman wore the covering all the time? Did that thing say it must be put on or taken off? It's not even hinted there. What it says is, again, it doesn't say put on a veil. And this is the whole basis of the other argument. It's something you have to put on. It doesn't say put on a cover in order to worship. It says a cover is necessary. Now, if the cover is there all the time, is that condition meant? And of course, the answer is yes. I believe that this strongly teaches that, I do want to go to another one if I can find it now. Here's where age gets to you. I can't even think what I want to do. Think what I'm wanting to go to. I'm sorry. The question is, if a man mistreats his wife, does he suddenly have to stop and start treating her right and to pray with her? Obviously not. It's a condition that must exist. And if you look at every one of these, they're framed in the same way. It's not the fact that this occasion alone requires this. It's that this occasion requires it. Not that it requires it only. It's not the only occasion that requires it. Shouldn't a man and a woman, or a woman, be able to pray at any time, under any circumstances? You say, well, she can carry a cover and flap it on her head. What if she is racing to the hospital with a child that's choking? Couldn't she, while she drives, pray if she has the covering on her head? It didn't say put the covering on. It didn't say wear the covering for the occasion. It says the occasion requires the covering. Just like praying requires treating your wife properly. Praying requires being a righteous person. Being a servant of God. And all the way down the line, this is a standard kind of argument in the Bible. All of us ought to recognize the importance of being able to worship properly. And to be able to worship properly, don't bring sacrifices to God's house, Isaiah 1, unless you've been kind to the poor. Unless you've been fair, unless you've been serving God. Don't have Sunday morning religion where you can do anything the rest of the week. Use bad language, tell bad stories, what have you, and then come and be very pious Sunday morning. You know people do this. It doesn't work. Because to be enabled to worship God properly, certain conditions have to exist. A man, in order to pray properly, must have an uncovered head. Now, nobody was wanting to look at it. the woman be able and be to pray properly must have covered hair. I think there must be another page. Yes. I want to deal with verse 6. This is a verse that people don't get the drift, and because they say they can't fully necessarily understand it. But I want you to look at what it says. It says the word akakalupto, that is, will not cover, is here. The word shaven is here, and shaven, the word shave, comes from the idea of razor, and so here is the idea of a head that is skinned, if you please. And the word shorn is here. Recognizing that, and shorn, if you notice I have it highlighted at the bottom, that's used in reference to sheep. Now, this is not our present-day meaning of shear, because you can take long hair and shear it halfway. Shorn then was referenced to shearing of sheep, which means you cut it down to a very short stubble. And so you can see how a short stubble or shaving relate. I would suggest now, watch this, that there are four levels or lengths of hair here referred to. There's long hair. That's number one. Number two, there's hair cut short toward that of a man's. Number three, there's shorn like a sheep. And number four is shaven. Now, the argument here is somebody there, apparently, a woman there, or women are about to do it or have done it or are looking that way, they're talking about cutting their hair more toward what a man would have. But yet they were ashamed to go and shear it. I'm sorry to say that a lot of people, there are women now that are not ashamed to shave it, but... So our society has become much more polluted than they. They at least recognize it was a shame for a woman to have no hair or a very short stubble. Now, you say, well, how do you know this second short? Because there's long and there's shorn or shaven, and there's something in between that he's talking about. Well, realizing what we read in Acts 18:18, where Paul had his head shorn because of a vow. Now, we note then that this shearing or sheep or shaving is not what Paul normally had. This is something he did because of a vow. In fact, twice it happens in the New Testament. Paul does it. Paul in 21:24 also does it. Shaved his head. What was his head before it was shaved? Well, number one, it wasn't long. That we know because of what he's just here written. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. It wasn't long, nor was it shorn or shaven, because he goes through a change to get it shorn or shaven. Therefore, it must be in between those two. That's the only thing left. And that's that fourth. Oh, and apparently, some women then were looking that way, maybe even a few doing it, and Paul wrote to correct that. He said, you need that sign of authority on your head because of the order of creation and the fact that God has made man and woman and made them man, a woman whose head is man, whose head is Christ. That's God's arrangement, and therefore, because of that arrangement, you must have the sign on the head. And if you look, there is no covering alluded to in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, nor even implied other than the hair. It keeps mentioning hair, 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 shorn, shaven. So I hold that a woman, by this, and I'm not arguing the fact that it still is binding. I totally agree with Pat on that and everything he said. But I argue here that a woman should have long hair. At any time, then, she can pray because she has the condition necessary for prayer, for acceptable prayer. I want you again to consider the form of verse 5. Verse 5 does not say a covering must be put on in order to pray or prophesy. It says a covering must be present. That doesn't say it should be put on.